This podcast on WSIU.org is a member-supported service of WSIU Public Radio. Your contributions help provide WSIU's online programming. Call 800-745-9748 or give online at WSIU.org. And thanks.
Our morning conversation this week focuses on Southern Illinois University Carbondale, and in for her monthly visit is SIUC Chancellor Rita Chang. Chancellor, thanks for coming in this morning.
Glad to be here.
As always, it's a busy time. You're gearing up for graduation, and this is finals week on the SIUC campus. I wanted to kind of start with that topic and talk about graduation. You've made changes to the way graduation works this year, but I think people are kind of at least understanding how it will work. Are you anticipating a bigger celebration as a result of making things a bit more consolidated?
We are clearly looking at commencement as a major celebration for the campus. The three main campus events are also complemented by receptions and gatherings at the college level across the campus, many on the same day, but also as final exams, and there are social gatherings for students and faculty. So it really is the end of the year. We started out with a big convocation and now ending with the ceremony of the commencement. We're really looking forward to the weekend.
That was one of the criticisms when the plan for three graduation ceremonies came out, that some of the colleges might lose their unique flavor that was just about that college. Have you seen kind of more involvement within those particular colleges here at the end of the semester?
As was in the past, there were varying levels of engagement on the graduation by the colleges. So with the main event and encouragement for complimentary gatherings and ceremonies, I think you're going to see each college have their own approach to the weekend as it complements the main graduation.
For people who've been paying attention, there's one graduation speaker for all three ceremonies. It's Captain Mark Kelly of NASA and also the husband of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. I wonder what the benefit is to the university of such a high-profile graduation speaker.
It clearly sends a message to our graduates that they're special, that we care enough about them and their families to engage someone like Mark Kelly. His message about overcoming adversity, perseverance, and the importance of preparation for life is a message that we want to send to our students, and we want to send them off to their lives with a word of encouragement and support.
For people who watch the purse strings, is this an added cost?
Well, we've done a lot of rearranging of costs, and clearly Mark Kelly has a stipend, but we have rearranged costs that were associated with multiple stage setups, an August graduation that was very costly, and put our money where we thought the priority was.
Sure. Speaking of money, a lot of people are once again paying very close attention to what's happening in Springfield. Governor Pat Quinn has come out recently with his proposal that would overhaul the pension system in Illinois. It may result in state workers paying more for their pension costs out of their paychecks each month. They may have to pay some for health care benefits after they retire. Some other changes, work longer, things like that. How do you think that will affect your ability to recruit and retain quality staff and faculty?
Well, it's clearly on everyone's mind. The impact on our employees is something that we're really concerned about, as well as the impact on the university budget of absorbing more of the pension costs. So the uncertainty right now is troubling, and it weighs on our staff and our faculty's minds as they're not sure about what the future brings. As we go forward, we always are concerned about attracting quality faculty and staff. Clearly, the second option, the new option for staff that have come in recent year, is not very competitive. And so, part of the pension overhaul that the presidents and chancellors have advocated for is to make sure that we have a sustainable system going forward that everyone can rely on, but also one that is more attractive than that new second-tier program, because new faculty and staff are really not seeing that that is very attractive in a state that doesn't have Social Security. So having a sustainable system, having one that isn't overly burdensome on employees and the employer, and having our health care questionable environment secured, it will be really important issues over the next several months.
You talk about the competitiveness of that new plan, which went into effect January 1st, I believe, of 2011. Anyone hired after that date has a different pension formula that they're dealing with.
Yes, and the pension itself is capped at a certain salary, so the benefits that are earned over and above that salary don't count. There also are longer vesting periods, and other adjustments that were made to trim costs, but also make that second tier not very competitive at all.
Recruiting, particularly faculty, I would assume, at a research institution like this one, is not just a nationwide search, but a global search. That change to the pension system, I assume, narrows your field?
It clearly is a concern of ours. Oftentimes, young faculty who we recruit aren't thinking about pensions as much as we are, who have near the end of our career. But clearly, that is something that we're very concerned about. The vesting is important, and also the health care is incredibly important.
Sure. Tangential to that is part of the governor's proposal that would require local school districts, community colleges, and universities to pick up what the state is now paying into those employee pension systems. When President Pichard was here last month, he talked a bit about this, and he said he was hoping for a phased-in approach, that the university could absorb this. I assume you're hoping for the same thing?
Yes, and when I talk about both the impact on the employee and the employer, I do mean the university, and quickly absorbing the state's portion would really be devastating for our budget. But we also know that the pension system itself is so important that we have to find a way to sustain it. So the university presidents are willing to step up and absorb some of the cost if it is phased in over time, so that we can plan accordingly.
It seems like each time you come in, we've got a new aspect to the budget that we have to ask, well, how will this affect other programs? So if you see the point where the university has to kick in, there's talk of anywhere from 3%, 4%, or 5% of employee pension contributions that the university would have to cover. How would that affect programs at the university? And on a more specific level, what about people?
Well, there's no doubt that absorbing the pension costs will result in cuts to other areas of the campus. We clearly are concerned about that and need a phased-in approach so that we're not facing a layoff situation. It seems, Jennifer, every time I come in, we're talking about the budget and we're talking about cuts to the budget. It is a concern, and this is an important benefit for our employees. We can't sustain this pension system, but we have to have one, so we are prepared. We can also not increase tuition to absorb something as large as the pension contributions. So there likely will be adjustments that need to be made on campus.
Sure, and of course that's something that we'll continue to keep track of as legislation is drafted and continues to move in Springfield. This is Morning Conversation on WSIU Radio, and our guest today is SIUC Chancellor Rita Cheng. Dr. Cheng, you mentioned tuition, and the SIU Board of Trustees meets this week where they'll discuss and vote on tuition and fee increase proposals. Has anything changed since the March meeting where we were talking about some of the fees staying the same, others going up a little bit, and then the tuition structure?
No, we haven't made any changes since the March proposal to the board, and we're going to ask that they vote in favor of a 4.8% tuition increase and a 3% increase in fees. We had started the conversation last fall with a 7% increase in tuition and fee increases that were larger than 3%. What we've come up with after scrubbing through all the financial statements is that a fair and reasonable compromise on the tuition and fees at 3% mean that we're, you know, it's not enough, but it is a fair balance, I think, between having the students preserve the quality of their education and the university continuing to tighten our belt.
I assume that as recruiters are going out and talking to prospective students, they're talking about, well, yes, as a matter of fact, the university is looking at a tuition increase of this percent. Are you getting feedback from potential students and parents saying, yes, this is manageable, no, we can't take that kind of increase?
Well, I think you have to put our tuition in context, Jennifer, and we're the lowest of the research universities in the state. So we are clearly a better value than Northern, than Illinois State, than UIC or University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. So the students that we're recruiting do realize that there are costs to attend school, and that our message to them is that we've done what we can to keep the tuition as low as we can.
Also, when President Pichard was here, he was talking about changes that the governor's office has made when they're looking at budgets for next year. SIU might not get the flat budget that it was expecting, so this tuition increase, as you mentioned, may not be enough. More reorganization, I assume?
We've been asked to resubmit a budget with a 6.14% reduction in state appropriations. This has been characterized as either an exercise or as a reduction that is likely. So we don't really know where that conversation will lead us, but we do know that there is concern in Springfield about the resources available for higher education. So if that should happen, Jennifer, we're back to 1998. Levels of appropriation, and we're really looking at modest increases in tuition. If you remember that this is a truth in tuition state, which means that the 4.8% increase locks in tuition for students for 5 years. It is not an exorbitant increase.
Sure. As we look at tuition, you have to look at the number of students that are actually paying that tuition. A lot of people are wondering how enrollment will be looking for the fall. This is the traditional time of year that you're talking to students that are getting ready to leave for the summer and saying, be sure to register before you leave. Are you seeing the similar trend that people are taking their time on that?
Yes, we are. We would encourage students to get those that business wrapped up before they leave for the summer. Our trends continue that new students are increasing, admitted, eligible to enroll, and the number of students in our orientation registrations are up from last year at this time. And if they continue that way, it'll be fifth semester in a row that we've had growth in new students. Our junior and senior classes have traditionally been the smallest ones, and they're working their way through. But we do anticipate new student increases to offset some of the softness in recent years or past years.
I have heard talk that there is a projected 5% decline in enrollment for the fall. Is that accurate?
I haven't had that figure presented to me at all, so I don't know where that talk is. We've got an 8.7% increase in admitted students for a new freshman. Our transfer numbers are starting to look strong, so I'm not sure if that is a rumor, a wives' tale, but we'll be watching those numbers through the summer.
How difficult is it to project where you'll be in the fall based on the number of students that have not registered yet, that are current students, as well as those still trying to make that decision?
It is really difficult. Two things that come in late: transfer student decisions are not always the same year after year, and the number of continuing students who register either for a full class load or a part class load. At this institution, we don't have any penalty for not registering before the end of spring semester. So we have students, we give them the luxury of registering throughout the summer. So it's really hard to tell how that's all going to shake out.
We've talked in several previous years, both with you and with chancellors before you, about those upper classes being smaller, and there are a variety of factors why. Is there still a large retention problem, and what are the reasons for that?
The retention numbers haven't changed, and we are very hopeful that all the things we put in place in the last 2 years will result in an uptick of retention in the new students we bring in. And that is often linked to preparation and ability to succeed in college. At the junior-senior level, there are students who choose to go slower because of the job market, take less classes, work and go to school, stop out, come back for life choices. And those are things that we study that are less in our control and more about advising students not to stay for two undergraduate majors, but finish and take graduate courses, for example.
You talked about one of the problems in retention being students that may not be ready for that first year of college. For those that are graduating from high school in the next several weeks, as well as those that are in community colleges, what do you recommend over the summer months?
Sharpen your math skills. And there are lots of opportunities for students to do that. If they've got the flexibility, take one of our summer classes. We've got three for free, which allows students who are coming to the institution to get a jump start on their classes. Clearly, making sure that their transition goes smoothly, wrap up any of their needs for their employment so that they can focus on their studies next fall, and come prepared to go to class and take advantage of all the support services we have.
You mentioned also this trend of people either slowing down or varying reasons that they're not graduating in the traditional 4 years. Is that tradition changing across the country? Are you seeing a 5 or 6 or even more years longer plan?
Well, the discussions with the higher ed leadership is to encourage students to finish in a shorter period of time, to find ways to support students who are taking longer than they should, advising students about the opportunity costs of staying an extra year, extra semester, because of the high cost of going to school, and making sure that students who are here and taking credits are getting the credentials that will take them through their lives.
I'd be remiss, we have just a couple of minutes remaining, but Congress is taking a very close look at student loans and student loan rates, which could dramatically jump over the summer if some action isn't taken. Are universities trying to work with Congress and talking to them about the burden on the students?
We sure are. We have financial aid networks, higher ed leadership networks, and we're advocating for making the interest rate on the Stafford loans continue at 3% rather than doubling to 6%. We are dealing with a number of Department of Education regulations that we hope that we can shape to better serve students. It is something that's on our mind all the time.
Sure. I know it's on students' minds as well. I appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Thanks, Jennifer.